Hello everyone and welcome to JFG Tonight, a chill show, not much happening, although what's happening is severe for our nations, because have you seen the price of the gas in Canada? It's going insane. I've never seen prices like this, so they're even higher than what was happening 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago. The curve has done like a rectangular up, and it's at the highest I've ever seen. Unbelievable. Things are starting to cost a lot. We are entering the survival hyperinflation part of the whole crisis, and that's interesting. Hope that you are prepared. I hope that you can produce some of your food. I hope you don't have too much expenses, too much mortgage, that kind of stuff, because it's going to get rough economically. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? We will be welcoming questions on entropy, questions on the regular chat. If you'd like to send super chats on entropy, the link is right below the video, entropy.jfg.world. You can also send super chats through Odyssey by using the support button. And also, if you'd like to call in, I am in the JF Lounge on the Discord. So look in the description, find the Discord link, and click on the waiting room on your left. When I see you guys on the waiting room, I will slide you in and you can come and talk to me directly if you would like. All right. What do we have? Oh yeah, Putin's energy shock is becoming a world food crisis. Brace for rationing. yeah, I think it's what's going to happen. At the current price of fuel, I don't know how society can operate. Everything is going to become extremely hard to get. There will be shortages in specific areas, and they won't be able to replenish because everything will be too costly to transport. So shortage of grain and other agriculture, and we're not even talking about the fuel cost for production of agricultural products. You know, you can't operate a tractor to make cereals and vegetables if the fuel of your tractor costs too much compared to the price you're going to sell these things. Shortage of grain and other agricultural commodities means a billion of the world's poorest people will go even hungrier thanks to Putin's deranged misadventure, and some will starve. Our next moral mission is to help them. You gotta be kidding me. Like, Putin has taken a military decision. It is our leaders who have decided to self-punish economically. As Ranting Patriarch was pointing out on the Discord, you know, this is the West self-punishing just to make a moral display, make a statement. It's not very intelligent to have done so. Stephen Robinson is already on entropy. He says, Kiev is a ha, is how a Ukrainian spells and pronounces Kiev. In English, abomination. You've written this all bizarre. I'm not going to read a text that is poorly written like this. That being said, that was probably in reference to the poll on entropy. The poll is Kiev or Kiev. It seems that it's always been Kiev, but that for political purposes, the pro-Ukraine people are pushing the Ukrainian orthography of the city name, Kiev, with an I. I don't know. Do you think we should use Kiev right now? Kiev right now? Or as I think we should use Kiev for now, as long as the Zelensky regime has control of the city. And then when Russia wins, we should switch to Kiev. That's how I've been approaching it. But you tell me what you think. A guy on Australian TV totally owned the mainstream media people that were inviting him. And of course, he was in a context where it was all pro-Ukraine. Look at what this guy did. This guy is amazing.
So as someone who comes from the Russian community here in Australia, I've been pretty outraged by the narrative created by our media depicting the Ukraine as the good guy and Russia as the bad guy. Believe it or not, there are a lot of Russians here and around the world that support what Putin is doing in the Ukraine, myself included. Since 2014, the Ukrainian government, together with Nazi groups like the Azov Battalion, have besieged the Russian populations in the Donbass, killing an estimated 13,000...
I mean, this is all correct. The Azov Battalion is documented. It exists in Ukraine. It exists for the purpose of oppressing these separatist republics. It is the death count that he gives of 13,000 is a conservative estimate, definitely what has been happening. I mean, we're talking about murders of local mayor, we're talking about shelling, we're talking about just civil warfare, civil war essentially happening and being operated by the Azov Battalion. This is not an argument, says, is this go away? Yeah, I believe it is go away. Our guy once again makes it on mainstream TV.
1,000 people,
can I?
According to the United Nations.
That's a lie.
It is not a lie. There is nothing in there that is even controversial or contested. All that he said here is true. No doubt. The guy who's saying it's a lie, well, what are you claiming? That the Azov Battalion doesn't exist? That Ukraine is not a corrupt country? That there aren't 13,000 people to 14,000 people who have died as a result of these civil conflicts? Of course, it all happened.
Could I finish?
Just quickly finish, and then we'll come to that. Yeah. And put that to the panel.
So my question is, you know, where was your outpouring of grief and concern for those thousands of mostly Russians?
Okay, question earlier about Russia, and it's been playing on my mind. And Sasha, people here have been talking about family who are suffering and people are dying. And I understand you wanted to ask your question about is there some reasoning for this, but you supported what's happening, hearing that people are dying. And can I just say I'm just not comfortable with you being here. Could you please leave?
They will never want to engage with intelligent talking points. This is what the mainstream media has been enveloped in, a bubble, and they want to stay in that bubble. No matter how intelligent you can get, if you get too intelligent, if you get too refined, I mean, this was a totally legitimate question. He's being kicked for essentially being correct, too correct to be addressable in this context. And there was no way these guys could turn this around and say, oh, you know, the only way they could have made it look okay would be to say, okay, we acknowledge this suffering. But they don't want to do this. They don't want to acknowledge the suffering of the Donbass, the suffering of the ethnic Russians. So it's really the dehumanization of a genocidal society that you see right here. The reason this guy can't be at the table is because he thinks wrong. This is wrong think in a context of genocide being perpetrated against the Russians. Pineapple Platypotamus says, Jeff, their parents and family are all in the same bubble, children of the rich. Yeah, that's why we don't get engagement. That's why we don't get mainstream scientist, even Brett, engaging with this book. It's discouraging. Because there was a time on the internet where I thought we could create a world in which people would be forced to engage. It existed for a couple of minutes, basically. Sprocket has sent a super chat on entropy during the night. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, with the fact that since 2014, the Ukrainian revolution, there have been multiple, I assume, fair elections, would that give the government legitimacy and make bringing up the revolution as proof of government's illegitimacy a moot point? Well, so he's referring to my statement that the Russian intervention in Ukraine is justified because they have violated the Minsk agreements by, and they have been, the current regime has been taking power through a violent revolution. Now, it is true that when Yanukovych was ousted in 2014, there were then elections, and so the president that replaced Yanukovych is not Zelensky. It was another president, and eventually elections led to Zelensky. But then you open the question of, does a government suddenly become legitimate because a single election has been happening since? Are elections washing away the sins of nations? And my belief here would be no. If a nation has committed a wrong and has demonstrated in the process that they were a highly corrupt, influenceable by violence, a kind of mafioso-style state, then one is justified in thinking that the next election will be as corrupt as the one that happened then. So I know what you mean. You could make the argument that suddenly a government regains legitimacy at every democratic election, but that's precisely not what's happening in Ukraine. In Ukraine, it's not a democratic election in the sense that we would hear it in the West. There are extreme pressures. People are voting to avoid violence. People are voting under fear. It's a society of extreme fear, and where the Azov Battalion and the likes are truly intimidating people. I mean, imagine being in a society that has seen snipers take over the government in 2014. Do you really think you're entering the booth with full liberty and a capacity to consent as far as the choice you will make? Or do you think that the violence that happened 2 years before will influence you then? I would say the second choice, it would influence you then. So I think that there are sins that nations carry, and they cannot wash themselves away just by the looks of an election. So I think that the justification from the perspective of Russia, the regime has lost its legitimacy in 2014 and it has never properly regained it. Riding the Tiger says, Jeff, did you say the other day that you thought the Azov Battalion guys seemed suspect, i.e. feds, or did I misremember? Well, the first time I presented these guys, I said, if I was to see a bunch of people like this in the US, I would call them fed. In Ukraine, it's more complicated because who funds them ultimately? And Coach Red Pill went over this. And it's the Ihor guy, the billionaire, who's funding them. It's also, it's networks of money that are very close to Israel. And it is, I wouldn't be surprised that some of what we hear in terms of weapons support that the US is sending gets directly in their hands. So you have here the triangle of entities that are funding these guys. So are they feds? Well, because in the US, when we say a fed, we mean literally a federal agent or someone linked to federal agents of the FBI or CIA, let's say. In Ukraine, it's more complicated because the dark network of money that funds these guys are above the federal government of Ukraine. So they're not feds in that strict sense, but they are feds in the sense of being entity funded by the top. That's what I would say. Entity that are funded by the top. Now, as Coach Red Pill has mentioned, there is some irony in having Jews fund neo-Nazis, but it's what's happening. So there's no way to sugarcoat this one. It's yes. Sometimes the neo-Nazis play the part that a Jewish billionaire would want them to play, and they get the grant. All right, let's just finish seeing this. The guy gets excluded from the set.
I'm sorry, you can ask a question. You can ask a question, but we cannot advocate violence. I should have asked you to leave then. It's been playing on my mind.
Okay, so we cannot advocate violence when we come and say, hey, there's been a genocide, so there must be people supporting Putin. But when you advocate for violence on the Ukraine side, when you say NATO should come in and intervene, that's okay. So there's a side of the violence that you can advocate for, but there's another side that cannot say a single thing or even suggest that the side could be legitimate. They get kicked. Intellectually, we live in a desert. It's so disappointing what this world has become. No engagement, no debate, not even thinking, not even openness to the other. Ukraine invasion, Sky News team under fire as ambush near Kyiv. Look at this. A team of media, they approach what we think is a Ukrainian checkpoint. And the Ukrainians shoot at them. And then they're like, no, we're journalists, we're on your side. They ended up injured. Thankfully, I think no one is dead, but... this must be quite a nervous situation to be in, to get shot at by the military when you're a journalist.
It wasn't. Something blew up under us.
Something went bang.
Oh, there's a big
hole.
Okay, okay, okay. Oh,
whoa! Whoa!
This bullet went very close. In any case, one journalist ended up injured. The other had two bullets in his body armor.
Stop!
These people live in another world. They're saying stop in English. Stop! It's like, aren't you carrying a white flag? Like, carry a white flag that says, I'm a journalist or something. I mean, this one could get you shot. So don't write it too clearly.
Where the f*** everyone?
We think it's a Ukrainian checkpoint and a mistake, so we identify ourselves.
We think it's a mistake. We assume they wouldn't shoot on journalists. Intentionally.
British journalists!
British journalists!
Journalists!
Journalista! Can anyone... You all right, Journalista! Hang on. Is everyone okay?
Yeah, okay?
You okay, Dom?
Yeah, I'm okay. Journalists!
Somehow we have to get out of this, but the rounds keep coming. It's a professional ambush. The bullets just don't miss.
Whoa!
Where can we go? Shall I crawl? Can we crawl down the embankment?
Andre! Whoa! Whoa!
What are they doing outside the car? I mean, you have to be really convinced that they're gonna stop shooting to get outside the car. They're basically putting their body in the lines of shooting. At least the car offers metal protection. It's a very hard situation to be communicating while bullets are headed your way. It's extremely hard because the more you expose yourself so that they can see you and hear you, the more you risk receiving bullets. You need a white flag. That's all you need.
Help! Journalist!
I'm hit, but escape the car, and with producer Dominic Van Heerden, we make our way down the embankment.
Where are...
Camera operator Richie Mocker has taken two rounds to his body armor but is still stuck in the car. He runs for it in a hail of bullets.
They're gonna keep shooting if they see you there.
Okay, guys.
Keep going. Shoot. Come on,
shoot. Ah, they have their little press.
The five of us have made it out of the car, down the embankment, and we just can't believe we're alive.
Let's go through there, behind that wall. Go on in.
They run. They end up behaving exactly like saboteurs would, you know?
Into a warehouse unit looking for cover.
Go!
Oh, so you're interested in accessing that warehouse? Why?
Three caretakers beckon us inside. Producer Martin Vowell starts coordinating a rescue plan with Sky staff.
All right, so they ended up to safety. Yeah, it's very hard in a zone of war to be properly communicating, to be stopping an aggression. Very hard to stop. There's basically nothing you can say that doesn't put you at further danger. Pineapple Platypotamus says, so a bulletproof vest means that the torso is the most likely place to get shot. Well, yeah, I mean, it's understood that a bulletproof vest protects your vital organs, which is also the easiest area to shoot at and also the most damaging if you do get a bullet. But also in the military context that we are in Ukraine, body armors are not enough. They can save you from light ammunition, but they won't save you from military grade heavy ammunition, heavy shells and explosions. EU countries won't send Ukraine fighter jets after all. All of the bullshit of we're going to support Ukraine. Yeah, Zelensky, you go. We're going to send you planes. Germany had said that they would send planes. I believe it was the European Union that was saying we're going to give jets. No, turns out Ukrainian authorities claimed on Monday that they would be receiving planes from several EU partners. Poland won't send fighter jets to Ukraine, the country said Tuesday. The latest in a series of similar denials from EU countries that have highlighted early confusion about what the bloc's new military support for Kyiv will actually encompass. In addition to Poland, the Bulgarian and Slovakian governments have also recently ruled out the delivery of military aircraft to Ukraine. Yet at the same time, a Ukrainian official was claiming as recently as Monday that Ukrainian pilots had left the country to pick up planes donated by EU countries. So no one wants to be the country that publicly endorses the giving. So it's like, we have to take these planes somewhere, but no one wants to be identified as the giver of the planes. And, you know, NATO's position is that this shouldn't be done because they have reiterated that if they were to offer a no-fly zone or any kind of air intervention, that would start a war with Putin, and this may mean nuclear war. NATO has rejected Ukraine's demand for no-fly zones. Allies in the North Atlantic Treaty Organization said on Friday that they will increase support but will not grant Ukraine's request for the implementation of no-fly zones. We are not part of this conflict, and we have a responsibility to ensure it does not escalate and spread beyond Ukraine. The leftists are torn apart. They are totally they are shocked that we can't intervene, because that would mean war with Russia. They demand and they pray every day on Twitter to get air intervention. But air intervention, as they explain, means bombarding Russian planes. And it means Vladimir Putin eventually gets pissed. He gets pissed both at Ukraine and he gets pissed at the country that did the jet intervention. So it's not a way to approach Russia. Russia now controls the sky over Ukraine. Aviators say if they fly, they die. Russia has established effective dominance over the skies of Ukraine, leaving little room for Kiev's remaining warplanes to operate, even as Moscow sends in apparently stalled, vulnerable convoy of reinforcements by land, aviators with military experience told Newsweek. They're essentially grounded. If they fly, they die. Ward Carroll, a retired U.S. Navy commander who flew combat missions in the F-14, told Newsweek of Ukraine's embattled Air Force. So all this talk about the convoy stalling, it may actually illustrate a sense of security. The convoy seems to be not so scared that they will get bombarded heavily because they can take their time. They have air control. So it's still the case that certain airports are under the control of the Ukrainian army. But when they say the air is controlled, it means that that the Russians have very high flying planes and that they would be able to attack jets that would show up, drones. And they also have ground forces that can attack the aircrafts from below. So air control, extremely important, because it determines to what extent these drone activities can be performed to just bombard convoys, make fuel tanks explode. And it seems that the Russians, according to this article, have been successful at securing it. Ukraine is attacking stalled convoy to Kiev, official says. That was yesterday. Ukrainian forces are attacking the 40-mile-long convoy that is attempting to converge on the capital. I think there's a lot of rooting happening in these reports, like pro-Ukrainian rooting. But I think they're convincing themselves of something that will not be to their service long-term. What's most likely happening with the Northern convoy is they don't intend to approach Kiev. And this is also a point made in this excellent article. Let me find it here. The coming siege of Kiev. This war is in its opening week. To get an idea of what is in store for Kiev, let's look at a few recent cases of urban warfare. They look at cases of urban warfare on smaller cities, admittedly, but their conclusion is it's most likely the case that the Russian army doesn't want in Kiev right now. What they want is to finish the encirclement, finish the neutralization of air defenses, so that there's only Kiev left as a big center in the parts of Ukraine that matter, at least. And so then they can start air bombardment. So the reason the convoy is not advancing is they probably reach their destination. They want to stay there. There's probably going to be the tail of the convoy joining in. But as far as the head goes, they will stay there. And they will stay there to effect a blockade of the city while aerial bombardment is happening. Because they were describing much smaller cities, and even the much smaller cities, urban warfare is not something you want to engage in when you try to attack them. So the Russian army will probably want heavy, heavy, heavy aerial bombardment before they even send a single tank in Kiev. I agree with these conclusions. It seems that some artillery was fired to a now Russian base of the north of Ukraine, a base under Russian control. But I don't know, from the video, it's hard to evaluate the efficiency. We see some smoke, we see maybe some damage where the smoke comes from. Maybe something on fire. We saw that was a bullet going, maybe some rocket exploding. So that was artillery shooting from the Ukrainian side toward a Russian-controlled base. The incident occurred at night on the territory of a sugar factory. So a sugar factory has blown up. It's like you would expect from cartoons, you know. It blows in a very cartoonish way, as it turns out.
Братан, давай назад. Братан, давай назад. Ну его нахуй.
It's almost like fireworks. So what kind of sugar factory are we talking about here? I guess they may have had some chemicals and other substances that turned out to be explosive. Big Blue Sky says, you're wrong, JF. Putin is afraid of transsexual army that's underway. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's what it is. Cowbutt says, word is Putin is terrified. Okay, that's the same thing. You guys are butts or what? You make the same jokes. I think we're getting more and more butts. We're going to have to address the butt problem on Odyssey. DK Shadow says, sugar is filled with energy, JF. You know that. Yeah, I know, but not to the point where it would do like firework-like stuff. That would be very surprising to me. It seems that, yes, sugar has some potential to burn, but to make like these little swirls of happiness like a cartoon, that's a little weird. That's a little weird. It's not what I would have expected. Naberius has sent $25. Thank you so much for supporting the show. It's amazing how the support has continued despite the fact that we changed platform. I now feel secure here on Odyssey. We've been scoring better viewerships at times than what we were doing on YouTube generally. I think we're starting to see a totally viable enterprise here on Odyssey. BBC pulls all reporters from Russia after Moscow criminalizes disinformation. Boom! Misinformation, disinformation. It's like Putin is being more of a leftist than the SJWs of America. And I kind of like it. It's, of course, it's not the way I want society to be organized. By the way, I'm still a right winger. But I like to see an other take on authoritarianism than the freaking leftist and their appeal to openness and their appeal to equality. I like the fact that there's a society out there, especially since it's not a society where I live. You know, I don't live in Russia. I like that they're out there showing the other side of the authoritarian middle, because it's going to be hard to contest and hard to support at the same time for many leftists in America. And yes, Firestarter, this is my ID. This is my ID. Outlawing speech rape, JF. I once did, in the Bloodsports days, a debate in which I was taking the position we should criminalize lies. We should criminalize speech rape. And the concept of speech rape I had presented is, if you put words in my mouth that I haven't said, or if you put actions that I haven't committed and you claim I committed them, you are speech raping me. You're making it like I said something or did something that I didn't do, and therefore you are violating my First Amendment right. And that seems to be, of course, we all know how it will turn. It will turn that this law will be used by Moscow to press down onto dissent, and so it's not going to end up like the situation I was dreaming of back then, but it's quite interesting to see this happening, and then, you know, we'll get to ask the leftists at some point, if they ever want to debate with us, what's the difference between you guys and Putin? What's the difference between Putin, who will send you to jail, and you guys who are advocating for the cancellation of people because they're dissidents, for them to be disappeared from social media? In the end, the only difference is a difference of degree. The West right now will not put you in jail for wrong think. I mean, they actually might, because they're starting to build up a kind of, well, in Canada, for example, there's literally hate speech laws. In the US, they like to combine the crime of the idea of an existing crime already and say, oh, now it has increased value because it's a hate crime. So imprisoning people for speech and thought is already on the table. But even just cancel culture that everyone is rooting for on social media and in the mainstream media, it's already a form of imprisonment. It's already a form of depersonification. And it's not so far from ending up in a jail. It's just a larger jail. White House considering ban on Russian crude, which Pinohir, is that their real name? CEO warns would send oil to $200. It's amazing. The price of gas is already incredibly high. I mean, I told Mama JF we're staying in the house. We're not leaving anymore. I'm not going to be driving around. It's just not worth it. We're going to wait for the gas to reduce in price, if it ever does, or we're just going to learn to live without much transportation. Russian paratroopers storm military hospital overnight as soldiers close in on Kiev. Russian paratroopers stormed a military hospital in the Ukrainian city of Kharkiv overnight. It comes as soldiers close in on Kiev with a convoy of Russian military vehicles, now 20 miles northwest of the capital. So I hadn't covered this, but there are now paratroopers operations in Kharkiv. Russia, on their side, they are going very strong on information control. Justet says gas is $1.65 a liter here now. JF, how much are you paying? I won't say numbers to give clues about where I live, but it's the highest I've seen ever. Russia blocks Twitter. Putin signs law to seize assets if foreigners harm Russians. Interfax is reporting that a Russian watchdog says Twitter is now blocked in Russia, adding to the Western social media freeze that now includes Facebook and access to app stores. I had covered that there had been technical problems with Play Store, Facebook. We didn't know if it was done on the Russian side or if it was technical issues or maybe sanction-related decisions by these companies. But now we have Microsoft saying they won't sell in Russia anymore. So what does that mean for the Windows operating system? Will it all be pirated in Russia, or will they switch to Linux? I don't know. Russia is isolating itself and people are isolating Russia. I can't wait to see what will come out of it. I really hope that Russia can use all of this to its advantage and create a different world, protect a different world from the West. I hope that they actually turn out to have the attitude a little bit that I had in response to my Twitter ban. You know, it's illegitimate, it's information control, it's the freaking cartels of the media that did it. But I'm going to use the opportunity to make my own path and develop something different, which we're doing right here on Odyssey. I hope that Russia does this at the country level. And that eventually in the future, we can look at it as truly an example of a standing civilization that has survived in a different way than the West. The West scrambles to stop Russia from accessing $17 billion in IMF reserves. as the EU and the US continue to search for new ways to punish Russians and, importantly, limit its central bank's access to its own reserves, Reuters reports that the EU is looking into suspending Russia's IMF voting rights, along with its central bank's access to IMF-produced SDRs. The option currently under consideration would remove Russia entirely from the organization. At the same time, the EU and NATO have reportedly denied as the Ukrainians' request to impose a no-fly zone over its airspace. Of course, enforcement of such a measure would almost certainly guarantee NATO being drawn into the conflict, which would effectively trigger the start of World War III, since the only way to enforce the measure would be sending NATO planes to shoot down Russian fighters. We are not part of this conflict, and we have responsibility to ensure it does not escalate and spread beyond Ukraine. Okay, so I don't know. People are trying to hit super hard on Russia to the point of depriving them of legitimately obtained property. Did that ever happen to America? Did we ever seize the bank accounts of the American government, the CIA, the FBI, for the wrongs that they have done? I've never heard of this. So why are we doing it with Russia? Well, what's the difference here? America has been bombarding countries, has been killing hundreds of thousands of civilians, has been making regime change, military intervention, regime change special operations, and has been generally acting like a gigantic asshole for decades now. So why is it that Russia is the only country that cannot do these things and America can? Russian officials' response to U.S. senators' call to assassinate Putin. I've been warning about this since the Richard Spencer interview. I've been saying, Vladimir, be careful. Don't ever basically see the sky. If you see the sky, you are under threat. So I hope that there's many layers covering Vladimir from exposing his head toward the sky, because it's going to come from some Space Force satellite drop. They're going to shoot a missile on you, just like they've done to some of these Middle Eastern so-called terrorists, Soleimani and that kind of stuff, where Trump was striking from the sky. They might try to do this with Russia. Now, the big thing is if they miss their shot, they're going to be in trouble, because it's going eventually Russia is going to know that you sent a missile to them, you know. Russia on March 4 described a U.S. senator's call to assassinate Russian President Vladimir Putin as irresponsible. And Anatoly Antonov, the Russian ambassador to the United States, said the remarks were irresponsible and dangerous. The degree of Russophobia and hatred in the USA towards Russia is off the charts. It's unbelievable that a country's senator preaching his moral values as a guiding star to all mankind could afford a call on terrorism as a way to achieve Washington's goals on the international arena. I fully agree with this. It's absolutely disgusting what's being, how the Russians are being treated here and how Vladimir Putin is being treated. And it's so double standard of the social media to be allowing these politicians, because basically Lindsey Graham, you know, always been a dirty snake warmonger, you know, snake to the point of charming the Trump base at some points, you know, being very pro-Trump, but when it matters, Lindsey Graham is back to his antics. And his antics are the same as Daniel Crenshaw. It's the antic of warmongering, of anti-Russia, of warmongering in the Middle East in general. And now he's calling for the assassination of Vladimir Putin, elected in Russia, you know, on Twitter. This is violence. It's much worse violence than anything Trump ever did on Twitter, by the way. Do you remember Do you remember Trump calling for assassination of anyone on Twitter? Never. He basically told protesters to to protest. So a call for protest by Trump is interpreted as a call to violence, but a call for literal assassination by Lindsey Graham is totally ignored. So, as far as the war goes, updates of the war, this has become a regular part of the show. Let's do it. There hasn't been much physical progress, but the map is looking more and more controlled by the Russian. Not on this one, though, because the live UA map, the red areas, are not updated very often. But really, what you see is the Russian gaining ground and just securing entire sections all around Ukraine. Perhaps the most important developments since yesterday's show are the continuing bombardment of Mariupol, shelling from a distance, and what has happened live during the show yesterday, and someone was telling me, JF, the Ukraine biggest nuclear power plant is getting bombarded, oh my god! You fell for some pro-Ukrainian propaganda, my friend, and I catched it live, because I said live, okay, maybe that's the case, but don't be worried, I don't expect much damage being done to the nuclear reactor. And, you know, before you get to an explosion, a true nuclear explosion, you need a series of accidents that I don't see happening from just shelling, really. The biggest danger would be an environmental leak. It would kind of suck, but I didn't expect at all the nuclear power plant to just blow up, because you need to reach critical mass, and I would suspect even in Ukraine, a country of extreme incompetence and high corruption, I would suspect that even there they have enough competence not to, you know, stack the nuclear fuel above each other in a way that if you shell them, they just concentrate into a critical mass type of thing. I expect this to be a little more professional. So I was not worried yesterday, and I was right. As it turns out, and you know, there are various claims here. Some people say, well, it was irresponsible of the Russians to shell an administrative building very close to a nuclear power plant. So now the nuclear power plant has been fully taken over by the Russians. It's going to be fun to see what they intend to do with it. Do they intend to shut it down to put more pressure on the besieged cities? Or will they keep it up to keep the civilians okay for humanitarian purposes? Or, again, they could just use the energy for themselves. Could they find a way so that this power plant's energy can serve their own war effort? Everything is possible. But in any case, all there was is some shelling of an administrative building close to the nuclear power plant. It caught fire, and that's it. And this was used by Zelensky to say, this is a war on everyone. It was totally a mediatic operation, what happened yesterday. Zelensky wanted the fear of an ecological, environmental catastrophe, because he wanted to justify, to say, NATO, you have to stop Russia. They are now endangering all of Europe. But the fact is, it was very safe. They didn't bombard toward the place where there are reactors. And it all turned out okay. They even let the firefighters turn off the fire. And, you know, there's even rumors on the internet, and Coach Red Pill has been reporting that rumor. This is not something I would verify, not something I'm sure. But there is even an interpretation of the whole situation as this was a provocation intentionally planned by Ukraine. Essentially, Zelensky would have started shooting from the nuclear power plant toward the Russian troops with the hope that they would eventually shoot back. And then they would have started the fire themselves to make it look like, oh my God, look at how dangerous this is becoming. Oh my God, we're going to have a nuclear disaster. It sounds totally plausible. Given how quick they were at using this as an opportunity to open up investigations in the US, you know, they said, we're going to put our nuclear response team right on the question, and they're going to be 24/7 looking at the safety. And Zelensky was using the opportunity to surf in the media of Europe and say, look, there's going to be a nuclear disaster. This all looks set up. But if it's not set up, it's certainly been used extremely narcissistically and extremely dirtily by the Ukrainian side here. If this all happened naturally in terms of a conflict, certainly they have tried to squeeze the juice out of this lemon as much as they could. What else do we have on the CNN freshest update? The US flew B-52 bombers over NATO's eastern flank on Friday. The United States flew B-52 Stratofortress bombers over NATO's eastern flank on Friday, exercising with the German and Romanian militaries in a sign of unity as the Russian invasion of Ukraine enters its second weekend. What is happening here is, it's like you've taken moral displays into the sky. You're making a moral display with jets. Like this moral display is costing probably dozens of millions of dollars just to run it. You're flying with jets on the border of NATO, and it's like, we're here. But you can't shoot, you can't get in, you can't do anything. So I don't know, I guess it's some kind of preparation or some kind of a display of threat to Putin to say, at some point, you know, the US will cross state lines. We will come in Ukraine and deal with your case. US and NATO officials believe Russia now appears poised to bombard cities into submission. Well, thank you for the amazing intelligence research. I mean, I've been presenting this is the goal for more than a week now. It's like, yeah, they're sending their tank. They're going to be at a far distance from Kiev, and they're just going to let nature do its course. And on top of it, use aerial bombardments. Listen, it's the only way. If you send your tanks into the city, you face all the civilian resistance, the rioting, and the little underground sewer movements of revolution. Fuck that. And you're gonna have to cross their mini hedgehog. It's like, don't cross the hedgehog. You have to bombard from the sky if you'd like to reduce the interface of friction between your army and the other army, especially if you have air superiority like Russia toward Ukraine, I mean, relatively. Russian forces are approaching Ukraine's second largest nuclear facility, US ambassador to the UN says. So it seems that the Russians have been very successful at controlling the administration. So these nuclear facilities, they are operated by a private company. So they're not technically governmental agents in there. They are the engineers of the private company doing the work for the government. And so they're now working at gunpoint. And so the Russian army was clever enough to keep the employees in. And it's like, okay, you're going to keep operating that nuclear plant safely, but we're going to have a gun, and you're going to do it the way we want it. That's what has been happening. And it seems that they're going to get a second one. Now, if they can shut down power selectively, potentially to only the Ukrainian side, and perhaps protect cities that they already have dominated, that will be extremely powerful. This will help the siege tactic. Par Pacific Holdings suspends all purchases of Russian crude oil for Hawaii refinery. Oh yeah, everyone is canceling economical relationships with Russia. It's amazing how the corporate world has become extremely coordinated to cancel Russia, and sometimes cancel just Russians. It's like Microsoft. It's like you're not going to be able to buy a Microsoft CD, a Windows CD in Russia. Can you imagine? Well, not that CDs are a thing anymore. Anyways, California governor orders agencies to review contracts to ensure compliance with sanctions against Russia. So lots of canceling. This is a picture of Ukraine officials inside the... Well, those are private employees of the nuclear plant after the attack of Zaporizhia. So that's after the attack where they had resolved the fire problem. So the plant is functional. It's producing its nuclear electricity. Cowbot says, let's load. Oh no, I will not read this. By the way, are you a bot? I will ban you. If you're a bot, we have to start banning bots. I don't know how we can recognize them. You know, they're getting more and more clever, but we have to find a way to identify these bots. Ukraine forces stop Russia from taking key airfield near Kiev they'd wanted since day one. So they're... Oh, okay, but someone sent me this this thing, but it's from February 28th, so it's old news. Do you remember that I tweeted about the Balkans, says Ruslan Trad? There was a Belgrade protest. Belgrade in Serbia. A protest that was pro-Russia. Amazing. There are people, despite the cancel culture that we've seen deployed against Russia, we have people who support Russia still. There's a lot of people. Pretty impressive. I didn't know that Serbia had a base of support for Russia, but I guess it's natural that it is so. Memes become weapons in the Ukraine-Russia conflict. History experts say social media posts are latest in a long line of propaganda. Well, yes, but you know, they talk about the ghost of Kiev and how it's a tradition. Basically, it's been a tradition forever for false information to be the norm in the war context. Yeah, it's been. And there's no way to tell when we see stuff what's the truth. Most of the times, what you get to know for sure is that the event as photographed probably happened. But even there, you're not sure, because there are some photographs that have fooled people that were from other times or from computer games. But generally, if you see a photo that gives cues that it's the current conflict. For example, this photo. This looks like a Ukrainian soldier saving a little baby. It seems that the baby is doing okay. I don't know if he was saved from the debris here. There was a strike on the bridge. Who was in that bus? In any case, the baby appears to have been unaffected. Hopefully it is the case. There are now people also canceling the companies that don't cancel Russia. So Coca-Cola is being targeted right now by the Twitter leftists. $1 billion babies. Coca-Cola owns 15 brands with retail sales exceeding $1 billion a year. 5 were born outside the US. So these brands, people are saying on Twitter, boycott these brands because they will keep selling to Russians. uh, It's the new war. The new war of cancel culture is not targeting a specific individual. It's saying to some company, you've not been cancel culture enough. We're going to cancel you, therefore. People are laughing at my photo. People are saying this is fake. I mean, I have no idea. I'm pretty sure that the guy is standing there with his Ukrainian color of the armband. And I'm pretty sure he has a baby in his hand. But people are saying the baby is too clean. That's actually a good point. Like, if this baby came from the rubble, I don't know how you guys say it. It's kind of surprising that he's squeaky clean. Like, everything we see here has some dirt, some water, some... But this baby has been, like, fresh from the cradle. Somehow, despite a massive explosion, the baby is fully clean. I mean, you know, perhaps it was just a mother wanting to pass the bridge, and she was like, oh shit, the bridge is blown. Can you please help me traverse with my baby? Maybe it's something like this, you know? And it kind of looks like, oh my God, this baby was saved from a major explosion. But you're right that it doesn't make sense, guys, because isn't it Ukraine themselves blowing up this bridge? Since they're doing it with remote mines and stuff like this, wouldn't it be the case that they can check that there's no baby before blowing it up? Yeah, it's true that this photo raises questions. Let's see the description on Twitter. Ukrainian soldier saving a survived child and dog from one of the most populated suburbs of Kiev, Irpin City, after bombing. For those who still believe in diplomacy with Putin, just Google what Irpin with luxury complexes and houses looked like 10 days ago. Could absolutely be misinformation. Absolutely. How do you keep a baby so clean in an aerial strike on a bridge falling from a freaking bus in a mud river? The odds are stacking against the veracity here. M. Norditokotomus Community Future says, JF, what is your opinion of Eugene Podglechnov research? Would be great to have him in an interview. Either him or Alien Scientist, the YouTuber. I don't know these people. I can take a note of their name. I can Google quickly. But Eugene Podglechnov is a Russian ceramics engineer known for his claims made in the 1990s of designing and demonstrating gravity shielding devices consisting of rotating discs constructed from ceramic superconducting material. Ah, wow! That is very interesting. According to the account, I'm saying interesting because I find the claim bold, but it's probably bullshit. But let's see what they write. According to the account Podglechnov gave to Wired, blah blah blah, someone in the laboratory was smoking a pipe and the pipe smoke rose in a column above the superconducting disc. So we placed a ball-shaped magnet above the disc attached to a balance. The balance behaved strangely. We substituted a non-magnetic material, silicone, and still the balance was very strange. We found that any object above the disc lost some of its weight, and we found that if we rotated the disc, the effect was increased. Podglechnov's first peer-reviewed paper on the apparent gravity modification effect, published in 1992, attracted little notice. In 1996, he submitted a longer paper in which he claimed to have observed a larger effect, 2% weight reduction as opposed to 0.3, in the 1992 paper. According to Platt, a member of the editorial staff, Jan Sempol leaked the submitted paper to Robert Matthews, the science correspondent for the British newspaper The Sunday Telegraph. Okay, blah, blah, blah. attempted verification. In a 1997 telephone interview with Charles Platt, Podglechnov insisted that his gravity shielding work was reproduced by researchers at universities in Toronto and Sheffield, but none have come forward to acknowledge this. The Sheffield work is known to have only been intended as partial replication, aimed at observing any unusual effects which might be present, since the team involved lacked the necessary facilities to construct a large enough disk and the ability to duplicate the means by which the original disk was rotated. Podglechnov counters that the researchers in question have kept quiet, lest they be criticized by the mainstream scientific community. Podglechnov is reported to have visited the Sheffield team in 2000 and advised them on the conditions necessary to achieve his effect, conditions that they have never achieved. Wow. Yeah, it looks like bullshit, but it makes me dream. I would love this to be true. I would love if we could have an anti-gravity effect of some kind, unfortunately. So apparently he was using composite bulk YBA2CU3O7X superconductor. I mean, it's like, it's one of these things where, okay, so you have to have this super rare thing that I won't be able to reproduce because I don't have this substance. I mean, I was already I'm so excited at anti-gravity that I was thinking of reproducing it right here in the studio to show you that it doesn't work. But now, okay, you got this super conductor rare material, so I can't do it. It's probably bullshit. Stephen J. James sends a super chat. He says, Jeff, any chance of using your clout when you next interact with Odyssey to politely request better analytics for creators? Thanks. Sure, I can mention this next time I talk to them or next time they come onto the regular chat. But I know that they're working on this already. It's already in their announcement, so don't give up. It will come. A Russian tank defeated, apparently, but perhaps being recycled by the Ukraine military. Perhaps they go in there and they get some extra ammo, and perhaps they're even able to shoot. It seems that it's been covered in mud. I don't know if the wheels are still operating, but there is some evidence that the Ukrainian army at times is able to stock themselves up from the dead Russian soldiers and what they were carrying. We will be headed toward our conclusion for tonight. Testicles says, Jeff, what are your thoughts on cousin marriage and having children with first cousin? First cousin? No, I wouldn't do that. I would get further away. I would get... I would aim for at least 2 more degrees of separation, at least, than a first cousin. So a cousin of a cousin of a cousin of you, that's not bad. Tighter than this, I think it's just bad practice. It's not something that I've ever been tempted with or wanted to do, and the world is populated enough. There are enough women out there, there are enough men out there you can find outside of your close genetic nuclei, and you're going to avoid the recessive disorders, of course, but to me it's almost a matter of feeling and principles. I don't think it's the right thing to do. That being said, I also do not object if 2 cousins fall in love and it's like, okay, they can do whatever they want. I highly recommend, you know, if they do make a baby, I highly recommend scanning genetically for genetic disorders so that some of the genetics disorder will be able to tell in advance and they'll be able to get an abortion to avoid having massive health problems later. But yeah, I don't object idealistically. I don't take issue, moral issue with this. I don't judge people who engage in it, but it's not my thing. All right, that is it for today. Mid in the Gates trashes Bill, says Jeffrey Epstein gave her nightmares. She wanted to reveal in an interview that she did speak with Jeffrey Epstein, but just once. And she wasn't happy about her husband spending time with him. And when she met him, she realized just once that he was the apogee of evil. He was an extremely crass, extremely bad man. Bill Gates will have to answer for spending time with him. You know, Melinda Gates is a very lucky woman. She's one of these women who essentially became billionaires through divorce. She doesn't bring anything useful to this world. I don't know why she gives herself that much exposure over the whole Jeffrey Epstein and divorce thing. It's like, it really sucks as a contribution to humanity. Dan Zemnit says, are there benefits to race mixing? My girlfriend is Asian and tells me diverse genetics makes for good babies. This has never been recorded, and if any data we have indicate anything in that sense, it's that interracial children will have slightly higher, you know, minor health problems, and at times slightly higher probability of being in a massively incompatible situation as it relates to blood donation, for example. Because the rarity of your combination sometimes will determine who you can accept bloods from. So, you know, at some point I've seen an announce on Twitter that was saying, we are looking for a half Pakistani, half South African person, because it's the only person who could give blood to me. Someone was asking this. Once you explore what has never been explored before you, you may face difficulties. You may face that the rarity of your situation leads to problems down the line. That being said, I don't think it's good and I don't think it's bad. It's the genetic lottery. And, you know, it's a little bit like playing the lottery and you're telling me, Jeff, should I choose 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, or should I choose random numbers? And the fact is, you know, in face of the massive law of great numbers and the randomness of the balls as they get picked in the machine, you have as much chance that the answer will be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, than 17, 23, 47, 61, 50. So do whatever you feel like and you're going to pay the price of your errors and reap the benefits of your good decisions. Kiev or Kiev? Wow, 7 people are based and they say Kiev already. 1 person says Kiev and 1 person says Kiev for now, but Kiev when Russia won. Well, I don't have a strong opinion on this, but there's some bullshitting. There's some play on the semantics that's been pulled on us when the leftists suddenly decided to change even a meal. There are restaurants that have now changed in the US. The chicken Kiev was on their menu. And now it's the chicken Kiev to show their support for Ukraine. And this all stinks progressivism.